Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my heart to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too, and you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss with Grin the Bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome back to another lovely Sunday evening, week 4 Mountain West Connection recap. Jeremy Moss with Chris Andres hanging out for your, hopefully you're okay, Mountain West fans. Boise fans are doing great. Like you, Chris, you're doing perfectly fine, correct?
I'm half and half. Remember. Boise State's fine. My other team is not.
And the other team is officially?
The other team would be officially be UNLV.
Okay, to make it sure.
I feel like that's going to be me for like the next, from now on, from here on out. Just, you know, tied fandom to UNLV. I'll be great during basketball season, but, you know.
Of course. I got my my team got the Heisman pose at the Big House. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. And then a three-hour rain delay.
The funny thing is, we'll go off topic right away. I mowed my lawn, and it's been pretty bad, so I got kind of tired. Because I was actually listening to the Hawaii game on the radio on my phone, mowing the lawn. I'm like, get a touchdown, Hawaii. Get a touchdown. So I come home. I have the game DVR. I'm like, okay, I'll catch up. All the Mountain West games were at night. So like, I'm like, I'm good. I come back. You do what you normally do for a football sporting event. Add 90 minutes or so because it never ends on time. Going through, I take a little nap, going through, fast forward, oh, rain delay. Fast forward, the whole 90 minutes is up. I'm like, oh, crap. Rain delay. Still going on. But then I finally end up finding the game and watching it later because it sucks. It actually coincides with the other, like, UNLV, Houston, the New Mexico game. So that's always exciting. And watching four games at once is quite difficult on your computer with Watch ESPN. It's hard to really know what's going on in each game. You kind of do, but you kind of don't. Am I the only one on that, or do you get that feeling?
No, you're totally up there.
I'm just like, oh, this game. I just wish, well, I have a Chromecast, and watch ESPN, you can do it, but Chromecasting from your computer to the TV is not the best, and you can only do one screen on, like, a phone or tablet, so. We're off topic right away, but check us out, MWCConnection.com, MWCConnection on Twitter. We had a bunch of games this week. We had nine games, and I hope everybody somewhat liked our infographic. I think it went over reasonably well.
I think people liked it. I think it's something that we need to keep up every single week.
Speaking of that, you got the statistical coming on tonight?
Yeah, I need to work on it. I have not been feeling well the last couple days.
No, I'm just joking with you. Because that took a while. It takes longer than you think. And Kirsten,
no, this for me, the statistical does not take a long time, though.
That one seems like it's more plug-in. You plug stuff in and you're good to go, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This one, everything you see on here, we had to upload the images, make them just right, and yeah, we just gotta get used to it. We'll be good. We'll get going. People.
But once we have a base, now we can work at it.
Yeah. Aha. Uh-huh. Good one. I see what you did there.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So let's just. So is there anything before we get to the game you want to discuss about the league or anything in general?
We suck. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. We don't suck. It's just. Everything, it's like the 2013 season. It's like we can't predict who's exactly good, who isn't bad. Utah State, apparently, without a Chucky Keaton, is not good.
It's not just Chucky Keaton being gone.
Well, yeah, obviously. But, I mean, I'm just... Hawaii.
Let's start there. Hawaii, Colorado. Let's start there.
Well, that's the first game of the day, so let's might as well start there. Hawaii. Come on, Hawaii.
Touchdown.
At least, hey, you know what? At least your kicking team looks good.
Yeah.
But kicking going team back to the quadrant system, is anybody want to take over?
Let's see.
Taylor Graham looked the most dominant, and he was only in there for like a minute and a half before he threw a pick.
Wasn't his first pass an interception, I believe?
No.
I thought I saw
it. It was on his first drive. It was But he looked the most comfortable out there. He was driving offense. He was, you know, three of four. He was 3 of 4. You know, the one pass was just dropped.
Laka.
And then,
come on, give him the ball.
And then he threw to nobody in particular, and that was the game losing interception. Guaranteed that throw is not. He wants that throw back. Because this was not a fourth down situation, and he had gotten the team out of basically where the punt went out of bounds. I think it was like the 6 yard line or something like that.
Yeah,
he was formulating a drive. He had gone 25 yards. Hawaii was driving.
So I was, like I said, I don't have Pac-12 Network. I could stream it. I did a little bit, but I was listening. Like I said, I was listening. And the announcers were not too happy. I listened to about the first half or so. Was Woosley pulled for inefficiency, or was there something else to that?
I think he was pulled for inefficiency.
What are they going to do in Hawaii? Because are they? I probably should check what Stephen Tsai has up from the what's it, Hawaii World or whatever the website's now. Honolulu Warrior World, whatever its dang thing is called. But so what? Yeah, what do they do at quarterback? First off, you gotta field the touchdowns in this game. You can't kick 4 field goals. You can't stop a 25-yard field goal, which is kicking what, the 7 yard line, 8 yard line. 14 play that one drive in second quarter. If they got a touchdown there, that could have been a case. You get a couple turn. You force two. You even on turnovers, but you give up two. You don't get anything out of your turnovers. So it's. I don't know. Woosley started off okay. His first drive. They didn't get no points. They had a sack and fumble recovery at the red zone, so it's not really his fault. He got pressure. But that first drive, Woosley was doing fine. He went 3 of 4 and ran the ball one time.
Right, and that's exactly, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, he looked fine, but he still looks, when you're still not completing 50% of your passes, there's a big issue. Now, a lot of those were drops. I would say out of the 14 missed passes, missed completions by Woolsey, if I have to watch the replay, but I would say that six of them were dropped passes.
Well, yeah. And
Colorado's defense was not that good. Colorado's offense was not that good.
Sefo Lafu is not too bad.
No. But if you...
The running game is terrible. Okay, no. The running game is not any good.
Here's the thing about Sefo Luafau. Okay?
Luafau,
whatever.
That guy.
Right? Take away Nelson Spruce, Colorado's lead wide receiver. He would not look.
Yeah, that 71-yard touchdown pass where, if I'm correct on the... I'm not going to look at the drop box score, but I believe Hawaii ran the ball three straight times to get like 1 yard, punt, touchdown, 71 yards. It's like when Hawaii, same thing versus Washington. They give up that 92-yard or whatever it was, yard pass. Take that away.
92-yard touchdown.
That, like, you're right, puts them at about one, just over 210. That's not very good, and that's a touchdown as well. If for some reason they don't get a touchdown on that drive, or that doesn't occur, it's 14-12. And maybe they go for a touchdown instead somewhere else, especially with that 24-yard field goal late in the game.
Here's the thing. Hawaii's defense has kept them in games.
It's just big plays.
Outside of the Oregon State game.
Yeah.
But even with the Oregon State game, they minimized it. The offense, you know, came close. Hawaii's come close against 3 Pac-12 teams. They need to finish the job somewhere.
Their offense, they have Laka Laka did great, 123 yards, 6 a carry, 6.5. Marcus Kemp seems to be the go-to receiver for everybody. Quentin Pedroza is doing all right. They have some weapons. Just the just whatever it comes to it, they can't get the ball in the end zone from the quarterback when they need to. And if teams know you're going to run and you can't throw it very well, there's no point in. They're either going to stop the run or bring the pressure and just do single coverage, like maybe one safety, and make you beat them in the throwing game. You know what I mean? Bring the pressure.
Right.
Because Colorado's not very good, and 21 points, it's okay for what I give up, but you get one touchdown anywhere in this game, don't give up that one big play, it's a completely different game. That's pretty confident Hawaii could possibly win this game. And they, like I said, they kept it close. They only had two penalties to Colorado's nine. They outran Colorado. It points to the quarterback and the one big play in defense. So what are they going to do at quarterback? Because I think we're safe to say Jeremy Higgins is not going to be quarterback. 4-17.
No, not at all. I'm going to go ahead and say Taylor Graham's going to start next week.
Back to Graham. Do you think he's fine? Because last year it was issues with his shoulder being injured, and he just wasn't healthy to play.
He wasn't accurate. Year. Yeah, he wasn't.
Not accurate. It has to do with the injury.
Yeah. Otherwise, to a true quadrant system. Max Whittick.
He's not eligible to play.
Oh, damn it.
He didn't graduate, so. Had he graduated, he could have played this year and next year. But now, I haven't heard anything official. I assume he's on campus, but he will be able to play one year only. And Higgins is out. I must have missed his broke his hand. So.
That's okay. I mean, that's not okay. He broke his hand. That sucks. But 4-17, you're not. I don't think he's going to plan on winning that starting position back anytime soon, even after his hand heals.
Yeah, here's the thing, too. Like, Steven, actually, this is Dave Reardon. Sorry, not Steven Tsai, but he hits it right in the head. Like what you said, receivers have dropped too many passes, and there's lack of speed at the skill positions. And the most glaring weakness, quarterback. For the most part, defense and special teams have done their part. Hawaii's to give Hawaii the ball in good field position.
Yeah.
And they've only six touchdowns. Here's the big thing. This is almost like San Jose State from last year. 6 touchdowns and 17 red zone appearances.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah. And also, one last thing. 46 of Hawaii's 85 points have come after opponents' turnovers. So they've had field position. Defense has given them a chance to go 30 yards. That's all they need. They're getting points here, but when they have to do a sustained drive from anywhere over, I'd say, 50 or 60 yards, they're not doing anything very well. So who would you bet to be the starter? Would you go with Taylor Graham next week?
I think Taylor Graham's going to start next week.
Does Hawaii play next week?
He
can play Rice.
Well, you know, he could start against bye.
They play.
Yeah, they're on a bye week next week. They play against Rice next.
At Rice. Rice is all looking good. They got punked by Old Dominion. Ooh.
Yeah, they should be. Although Old Dominion's looking good.
They're in my poll. They make it.
Old Dirty. Old Dirty University.
ODU's in my poll now, so.
They are in mine as well. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. What do you got next?
San Jose State, Minnesota. Ooh.
As I put in my recap, was it safe to say we could have almost inserted last year's tape and watched that game again?
Yeah.
Almost.
Absolutely. You would have thought that they fixed things, but they no. They gave up 380 rushing yards.
Hey, look at the positive, man. They per attempt, Minnesota only had 1 yard per attempt passing the ball.
Yeah, they only had one completion.
I'm reading through. We like Jimmy Durkin. He's been on the show. Reading what the coach, Ron Carragher, said. I don't get where the confidence is coming from the defense. The reason Minnesota threw 1 of 7 times. This is their backup quarterback, Chris Streveler, who played. It wasn't their starter. So he threw 1 of 7. He threw an interception. I get. San Jose State did a reasonably well job on that, but here's the thing, too. If you give up 380 yards and only give up 24 points, that is a decent effort. Holding them to 5 of 12 on third downs, they were not penalized the whole game. And part of it is, too, when you have 5 turnovers on your own end, I guess I get where the defense is there, but still, you're giving up over 6.5 yards of carry.
Can we also say that San Jose State Austin Lopez had a strange day, as in he missed 2 field goals?
Yeah, he's not that type of guy. There was weather issues, so I only saw part of the game, bits and pieces on the Big Ten to go. But there was a 90-minute or so, hour or so rain delay, weather delay of some sort, so I don't know if the wind had an issue with that. But he's one of the best kickers, not just in the Mountain West, but across the country.
Yeah.
At least he's not Clemson's kicker missing a 24-yard field goal.
San Jose State, and here's the other thing. They completely lost the turnover battle.
Yeah, 5-2.
5-2. Two interceptions, uncharacteristic by Blake Jurich.
Who might not be the starter going forward.
Right. Wait, why?
Oh, you did. No, they're reevaluating the quarterback situation.
Oh. Why?
Because Jurich had two interceptions and only had 161 yards. He did not play well.
I guess. I mean,
it was pretty close in fall, spring and fall, but it's a possibility. I have something going up probably tomorrow about how they're reevaluating everything. It's like, we pulled up here from Durkin again, but it's looking like they're going to have to give Gray possibly a chance this week to do something.
I mean, how about, forget the two interceptions, how about the three fumbles?
Yeah, that's definitely not what you want either. But here's like two big momentum swings. In the final 30 seconds of the first half, of the late Minnesota touchdown to give it 17-7, that's what I saw. Like, that was the big thing of the game. Minnesota's driving down the field, and like, they likely would have gotten points. I think there's about a minute or two. San Jose State recovers. I don't recall if it was an interception or fumble. They get the ball. I'm like, okay, at least there's no points coming to Minnesota. At that point, it was 10-7. It's like, okay, right. No points are coming. That's fine. They're not going to drive down the field. I believe this is one of their fumbles. San Jose State takes it and then scores on offense a few plays later. So it could have been 10-7 at the half, but then it goes 17-7. And then the fumble, Spartans fumble at the one, and then recovered in the end zone.
That was an interception.
Oh, no, that's what it was. At halftime. Sorry, I'm looking wrong. Yeah, that's what it was. Interception for the touchback. That's right. Yeah, correct. And then they give it back up, and they score. So that, who knows, that could have made a difference to the game, but it was those type of things you can't have happen. You get a gift. The time was running out. You don't. They're at the 20-yard line. You're not going to go down. Odds of you going down the field with that much time left, probably for any team, quite difficult. I don't recall what their timeout situation was, but go to the half at 10-7, man. Perfectly fine.
Yeah, you know, especially since, I mean,
yeah. Here's what it is right here. Okay, I finally pulled up the box or play chart. It's first and five at the 25 after offsides for Minnesota.
It was a screen pass.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember now, yeah. A pass. I'm like, dude, there's 29 seconds left when they got the ball.
And intercepted on a screen pass.
Terrible.
Really?
Oh, boy. Doing too many screens. But that, right, 20, just take a knee, man. Take a knee. I know Minnesota had all three timeouts, or two, yeah, they used all three timeouts on their next drive to go, however, what is it, 15 yards, 22 yards out to score. But, dude, take a knee. Or run up the middle. You're not going to, if you get a touchdown with 29 seconds left at the end of the half, dude, that's a gift. You're on the road, down three, going into halftime against a
that's 17-7 right there.
Yeah, that's a swing.
That's a final score of 17-7.
Yeah. That. It's an interesting here. I'm trying to pull up that quote here, what they had from the post-game press conference here from Carragher.
And once again, 380 yards on the ground is unacceptable.
Yeah, what it says here, Carragher just said in his postgame, quote, quarterback position will be reevaluated after Jurich's performance in the loss. So, there's that. Who knows? There were overthrown passes, kind of, because Durkin did a good thing for like reevaluating the QB. It's pretty long. I'll probably read it later. I just noticed it right before we started. But most of the turnovers, were the fumbles on Jurich, or were they running back fumbles, do you recall?
One fumble was on Jared Lawson,
who made his first start.
Yes, one fumble was on Jurich. And one fumble was on Joe Gray.
Okay, so not really Durk's fault. But I'm looking right here, like, Durkin says, like, well, he gives most of the blame on that play on the screen pass by Durk, but I think I think it's more the coach. I know you got to make the play and do the right decision, but again, 29 seconds, you're going, well, they're at the 25 now, 75 yards after you stop Minnesota, who was going for a touchdown. Take a knee, man. Just take a knee and be done with it. But they play Nevada next week. There's no way they beat Nevada, is there?
Might be.
Maybe. Depends who's quarterback. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. That'll be the big thing to keep an eye on this week.
We'll see if Nevada beat bye week this week.
As I pointed out, what we learned, Nevada had the best week out of the West Division teams.
Yeah, don't play. Yeah. That's the way.
That was also the big issue, I think, on Spencer Hall's the playoff thing. It's like, oh, yeah. You were off this week. Good for you. You were off this week. Good for you. All right, where are we going next? What game should we move meander on?
We're going 7,000 feet.
The Owls can fly high, so.
The Owls can fly high.
Maybe we should take
that into consideration. And also that Wyoming was winning this game the whole game until the last 2 minutes where Florida Atlantic kicked a field goal, took the lead 19-17, and kick return. What the hell is Craig Bull doing? He's throwing the ball three times. Why would you throw the ball three times with 2.5 minutes left? Take your time on a drive. Oh, wait. Turnover on downs. Okay, well, this game's over. Wait, but FAU's not taking any?
Yeah.
Run up the middle? Fumble! Wyoming has a ball!
Thank you.
Sorry, I just summed up the whole game. And
pretty much. Like, I was watching part of it on the Campus Insiders. I was kind of, like I said, flipping around games. So I was like, oh, this game's on. It was reasonably close for the most part. It was like, Wyoming wasn't blowing this team out, but they're up 10-6 at the half. Then FAU made their run. But yeah, the end of the game, if FAU, that's just coaching. And just like with the San Jose State, I blame that coaching on that, during that screen pass. You're up by two. They did run. Well, you can't blame them too much. They ran three times. Oh, no, sorry. My mistake. I'm at the one play before. They did try to run the clock up before, but Wyoming's defense, which is vastly underrated in my opinion, is doing quite well. They forced them, and then Wyoming, like I said, you already wrapped up. Wyoming gives the ball up, but then just a fumble. That's all it is. It wasn't FU, well, maybe it's not FU coaching error, but protect the ball, man. So. Well, they're 3-1, 50% to bowling, right?
Yeah, right. 50% to bowling. That will be definitely on the infograph tonight. And will they make it? They actually might.
And I guess we should just say the play of the weekend might be that 88-yard touchdown pass. You glossed over that, Chris.
What?
The 88-yard, no, not touchdown, the 88-yard pass at the end of the game.
Yes.
You did not mention that. That's a key fact.
Yeah.
But geez, I don't know what defense they're running there, but I don't know if they're bringing the pressure, but they got the penalty, and then... Sorry, Sean Wick. You got to get it in the end zone, man. Get a touchdown. They get nothing. They kick at the 1 yard line.
That would have been, you know, covered.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
But they win. FAU. This is a game. Even though you and me are terrible at the picking games this week against the spread. Like for winners, I'll have to go back and see what we're doing on that end, but. It was an okay game for them. I mean, they did better. They outgained Florida Atlantic. They need to be better.
They scored 20 points.
Yeah.
They haven't scored 20 points this season.
They haven't?
No.
This is their game, season high?
Yep.
We know the offense isn't very good. The running game's above average. Passing game, Kurt Gardner needs to be much improved. But part of it might be with what Bull's doing. They got Dominic Ruffin, one of the best receivers in the league. Defense is great. It's like it's almost the same in Hawaii. If quarterback could play, it could be better. This could be probably a much better team. Maybe?
Yeah.
Yes, no?
Probably.
Because Ruffin's a good receiver. Tanner Gentry's not that bad.
Sean Wick and DJ Mayfield.
I mean, yeah, good. Running game probably out of the top duo might be who has a better, like, two running backs? Maybe San Diego State?
And, we'll get to that game, but backups for Boise State looks pretty good,
too. Well, I mean, but Boise, well, it's going to be J.J. for the most part. They're not really splitting at all with him.
Exactly.
Running game for Boise is better, but I mean, for us, for two guys. That's what I'm getting. And they lost, if they had Beltazar, geez, that'd be amazing, but he's
Let's also think about Stephen Lakalaka.
But that's one guy. Well, if they had...
That is one guy.
Iosefa, so...
It used to be Iosefa Lakalaka.
Yeah, we'll see. So, Wyoming wins. Sorry, Florida Atlantic. Sorry, guys. But you had to win. Protect the ball, man. Protect the ball.
And not make dumb decisions. See, this is continued karma for releasing Carl Pelini.
Well, cocaine does have its side effects.
That, as far as we know, that's a false allegation.
Allegedly, yes, I need to...
Allegedly.
Cocaine, but still. If you're alleged with cocaine, it's not ending well for you.
Probably not.
So, yeah, Wyoming's passing defense did fine. Running could be a bit better, but... Who does Wyoming have next week? Oh, yeah, that's right. They play Michigan State on the road at noon Eastern kick.
Well, we saw them hold Oregon to under 50, so... We also saw Washington State hold Oregon to under 50.
And Michigan State scores 73, even though he gets a very bad Eastern Michigan team.
Yeah, Wyoming's better than Eastern Michigan. Come on.
Well, I know, but still. 73 points against an FBS team. Well, Eastern Michigan's probably one of the bottom 10.
I was about to say, hold on here.
What? Just about Eastern Michigan in general?
Yeah, I mean, Indiana rolled up 70 last year.
And they beat Missouri this past week. Sorry, Chris. The other Chris.
Chris Turner did not have a good week.
He did not. Sorry. Moving on. So we should go to UNLV Houston?
No. You can't avoid it.
Utah State,
Arkansas State.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. They're marked as one of my favorite teams, so it's not in that order. Okay. First up, they lose 21-14. Terrible. No, it's not a terrible loss. Arkansas State's actually a reasonably decent team. They won the Sun Belt a couple years in a row. Been to a bowl game 5 straight years with 5 separate coaches, I believe, or 4 separate coaches.
4 coaches, 1 coach for each year, the last 4 years.
That's what it was. They had Gus Malzahn, Hugh Freeze, and Brian Harsin were 3 of the coaches. I forget who the first one was.
And really, I mean, the two teams that they've lost to, they're 2-2 this year. They dominated FCS Montana State at the beginning of the year, but didn't lose as badly to Tennessee as Utah State did, 34-19. They lost to Miami 41-20. So, I mean, transitively, it looked like Arkansas State was going to win this game.
Yeah. No, well, I...
Still, transitively.
Yeah, which is terrible. I actually mentioned that with the Nevada deal with Washington State holding Oregon and all that stuff. But, excuse me.
Arkansas State, by
play calling is an issue. Play calling was an issue. Missing field goals to win the game is an issue. What do you got playing there?
Yeah, hold on.
I'll keep talking while Chris plays the intro music. Yeah, if you read what our guy Ben wrote on the recap, first loss for Daryl Gerritsen as a starter. We know Chucky Keaton's gone. Kyler Frackle, linebacker, NFL potential linebacker, is gone for the year. I'm wondering if we all fell in love with Gerritsen just because, they lost to Boise. The only loss was regular season loss, I'd say. He played the Mountain West title game, lost to Fresno last year. But if you look at his numbers, Gerritsen was good enough to get in the ball, throwing the ball to who was open, didn't put up these huge stats, the defense was just as good. This game, they only give up 21 points. You gotta do something better than that. The running game has been awful. Joe Hill, I'm not sure why he didn't play. The defense did okay. They only gave up 2.5 yards a carry. Friedel Knighton didn't do anything special, but... And they were plus 3 in turnover margin. There was no excuse for Utah State to lose this game.
And yet they did.
Well, they had 100 yards in penalties against them. Here's where it comes into play. Red zone was terrible. 6-12, 20 on third down. 1-4, fourth down. 100 yards in turnovers, but they're plus three, and they held and they outgained Arkansas State by 100 yards.
Wasn't this also a missed field goal attempt too?
A blocked
field goal. As time expired?
Oh, there's a blocked field goal and another.
Sorry, blocked field goal.
I only saw part. Yeah, blocked field goal. And then I guess Jake Thompson took a field goal. Let me see when that was at. There was a missed field goal earlier in the game. But then the biggest play, did you watch the overtime period?
I did not watch this game.
Okay. So thanks for the insight. No kidding. Thanks for the insight. No, watching four games once is difficult. No, overtime. Arkansas State goes up first. That's perfectly fine. Okay. Utah State, 4th and 6. If that's correct, you know, let me see if I can pull up the box score here. Regardless, the play that was called was much more than 6 yards. I get you need the touchdown, but it was much more than 6 yards. It was a throw to the left side of the field to a, I don't remember who the receiver was, but there were a lot more Arkansas State players than there were Utah State players. And this is like a, I think they're at the, if it's a, they're at the 19-yard line. So there's no reason to throw to like the 5-yard line. No reason to throw the ball that far. But they did. It was a terrible throw in the end of the game on a, just a ridiculous play call, ridiculous pass. Guy was blanketed in the corner. And it just came down to, like what Ben says in the recap, there was not much done offensively when they were getting any chances close to get points. And there's the bobbled snap that doesn't help on the punch when they even the game up when there's a block. They, what was it here? The ball already in the red zone 3 plays later. Then McKissick scores a touchdown. So that's the one turnover that Utah State had that really hurt them. The one turnover. Is that technically a turnover? A snap? A muffed punt or something?
Possibly.
Regardless, when they get that type of play, when you score from that close, 3 plays, 13 yards in the third quarter. Because 7-0 through the half, the game was kind of boring. If you're Utah State, they got an 81-yard touchdown pass, 41-yard touchdown pass throughout the game, doing well. But fourth quarter, couldn't get done, blocked field goal, overtime terrible. So do we just over-evaluate Daryl Gerritsen, perhaps, just because he was winning last year?
Probably.
Because I was looking, like when you stepped away for a moment, looking at his stats from last year, he was not really impressive. He can move the ball reasonably well, like kind of in the pocket, I should say. But his stats from last year, per game, nothing spectacular. Because just right here, he only completed 58% of his passes. The Colorado State game is weird, but his yardage was not very good last year. Like, 4 games of under 200 yards. 5 games we've gone the bowl game under 200 yards. Only versus Hawaii and UNLV, he looked really good. And then CSU, that super windy, stormy game, he had 43 yards. And he wasn't rushing all that well. He had a couple of rushes here or there, but I think maybe it was over-evaluating just because they're winning, and it wasn't necessarily because of him. And then we expect them to go on the road to a decent team to beat them. And everybody played well enough. They had running game wasn't efficient enough. And they just kind of fall asleep and sick in the fourth quarter.
Gotcha.
So where do you put Utah State in the wet, in the mountain? Is it just Boise and then blank, 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 CSU, Utah State, Wyoming? I'm just saying.
Possibly. Quite possibly. I just... It's Boise, and then I might want to say Wyoming right now, and then Colorado State, but
CSU is off. But Wyoming's only beat FAU, really. It's only they beat FAU, Montana, and who was their first one against? Did you already forget?
Montana. FAU, they, Montana.
They have 3 wins.
Air Force.
Oh, that's right, Air Force conference game. Yeah. I don't know. Their defense is pretty good. But the Aggies, there's no way they're beating BYU because they have the off week, which they need. There's no way. I figured out they can maybe beat BYU.
Unless Chucky pulls out a miracle.
He's healthy and he's fine, and Utah State has a running game. I think the only chance I'd give them against BYU, Utah State defense is still really good. And BYU hasn't faced a defense really good. Virginia?
Right. Houston's defense, no. Not really good.
Virginia, no. UConn, no. Virginia's okay, but Some of the touchdowns last week, I think, for BYU, I think there's a kick return and a punt return or something, but this will be the best defense they faced. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I still don't believe in BYU quarterback Taysom Hill to throw the ball downfield. So if they could somehow get some pressure on him and do that, there's a chance. But they need Chucky Keaton to be there, play well, and have a running game. And who knows if they'll get that.
Somebody mentioned, oh, I was reading this in a webcomic, about how RG3 is basically, he's pretty much a broken athlete, but it's because he's too athletic for his own good. He does all these things for the good of his team, which leads him to basically some wild ambitious plays, which how he gets injured. And it finally comes to the point where when RG3 was injured last week, re-injured, it was on a play that was a non-contact play, which is kind of like how we saw about Chucky.
Yeah, but Chucky, there could have been something before. There's that face mask where you basically got corkscrewed a couple plays or drives before.
Right.
Here's the dislocated ankle. That's just a freak injury, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, how, unless you're... Even if you step on your ankle weird, that's kind of odd for that to dislocate. Re-injuring your knee, we've all tweaked our knee, whether you hit the funny, whatever, not the funny, but there's that one spot in your knee where you hit it, it'll just knock you down for about 20 seconds. You can tweak your knee by bumping into something or just stepping on it weird. Dislocating your ankle, that's something, even though it was non-contact and there is some concern, that's pretty rare to happen.
So, next game.
Yeah, Utah State. Somebody, come on, get a win. So next is the Vegas game, right?
Yeah.
Does Randall Cunningham have any eligibility left?
No.
No.
And this team needs a quarterback. I mean, they switched to Nick Sherry in the middle of the game.
Nothing.
Nick Sherry was 4 of 11 with an interception.
There are penalties galore in this game. Third down's awful.
The ref was flag happy, no doubt about that. There were some
20 total penalties. Come on.
Yeah, no. And a lot of penalties were because some extracurricular activities.
It's basically the second half. Houston just came out slinging in. Because at halftime, okay, 13-7. Okay, 20-7, they score right away. Still not good.
And then Penny Bay goes down.
Yeah.
And just nothing.
Do you have the box score in front of you?
Yes.
Do you see Devontae Davis' stat line?
Yeah, 1 for 0.
I wish there was a target I could find, but...
He was targeted once, I think.
Again, watching so many games at once, I kind of saw stuff here and there. I kind of tuned out of this game when it was 30-7. But he is the best player on the field. Him and John O'Korn, the Houston quarterback, are probably the best athletes on the field. And Houston did. Oh, jeez. I don't know. I'm going back to what I said probably 2 years ago. I never trusted UNLV again for anything. They could go off and win 12 games in 1 year, go undefeated, win a Fiesta Bowl. Still not going to believe in them in any game, ever again.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and it's adding to my. Slight depression.
I knew this year they probably struggle to get to a bowl game, and they need seven wins because they added this Houston game just a few months ago.
Logan Yunker, All Mountain West punter, please. Could we at least give him that?
Sure.
He's extremely consistent, continuing to get punts inside the 20.
Yeah, 3 of them out of 7, and a touchback. So technically 4, I guess. I don't know how punting stats work, but rush defense, the pass defense wasn't that bad. They had 2 interceptions. O'Korn only had 135 yards. It's that, where's Josh Shirley, the guy from Washington, who's supposed to be something special? He's not doing anything. They give up 4. This is like Air Force running the ball. 400 yards, 7.7 per carry. Multiple yards. Like, if you look at the long, for everybody's long, 55, 28, 19, 35, 14, and 22. Just adding up those longs is a huge amount of yards.
Yeah, it's quite nasty. This was a game where I was watching and I was hopeful, and then
for a half you should have been hopeful, 13-7.
Yeah, they held it down. Even when it was 20-7.
Yeah,
the score came quick, but
yeah, it's like okay, that's fine. We'll get back in it. We'll do something. Yeah. They're just awful. All right.
They might be the worst team in the Mountain West right now.
I put them at number 12 of 12. So
there's nothing else to say. This is one of those things where UNLV has to get something turned around. Something has to change. Something changed last year when they started Calum Herring. But
is Nick Sherry going to start next week?
Possibly.
Who do they play next week? Just since we've been doing it for everybody else. Yeah. Oh, it's Aztec. That's right. We talked with Dave. Yeah. Is this game really just on ESPN3 only?
Jeez. Yes. Oh. Yes, it was.
No, I mean the upcoming game is as well.
Oh.
It is.
Well, it's probably for the best.
All right, let's just move on. The Rio Grande rivalry. This is the most exciting game of the weekend.
No, it wasn't, but...
Points? Yeah. Like I said, it was competitive, which means a lot of points, even if it's not the best football. But we have the quadrant-2 here. Point 2, whatever you want to call it, 0.0.
Quadrant 0.0? 4.0?
Well, one throw was by linebacker, David Anaya there, so... Or no, running back, excuse me. Who told me linebacker? Maybe that was the Hawaii game, I don't know. Regardless, Lamar Jordan did give us a retweet when we said he should be the starting quarterback, so that's nice, right?
Right. I mean, somebody actually pays attention when we say things.
Caruso Gongbe is excellent running the ball. 9 yards a carry, just about.
Yeah, well, we knew that. We knew that his stupid decisions would hurt him, though.
Yeah, so assuming he's back and ready to go as the full-time starter. But again, you're playing New Mexico State. And Jarrell Presley did fine. Gauchi did okay. Here's what I think. I think I mentioned this before, or maybe I did with Matt a couple weeks ago when you were gone. Jordan be the starting quarterback, and maybe bring in Gauchi just randomly for a couple plays here or there. Because Lamar Jordan seems to have the best of both, where I don't know how Gauchi does it. He runs the ball as well as anybody in the offense, who we've seen under center for New Mexico. But he can't throw a lick. Jordan can run it almost as close to running the ball, but he can throw, which should make him more dangerous.
Right.
Was Carlos Wiggins out of this game?
It looked like it. But remember, he was out last game, too.
Oh, that's right.
It looks like his injury might be a little bit more concerning than we originally thought it was.
Okay, well, he didn't play.
No, he played today.
Oh, there it is. Sorry, I looked at it wrong. Sorry, kick return. Sorry, yeah, there it is. I didn't scroll out far enough. How does he not get the ball? Put him in the backfield. Jeez. He had one carry for -3 and 2 kick returns. Come on. He needs 10 touches a game. But the best thing about New Mexico in this game, they made a game-winning drive. This game was back and forth the whole time. Back and forth the whole way. There was no... New Mexico State went up 35-31. But the best thing I would take out of this is that New Mexico has never been able to do any sort of, let's finish the team off. And they actually mounted a game-winning drive with Lamar Jordan, who ran the ball 3 times. And they did get a pass interference penalty that helped them out quite a bit. But they got Jordan through it. He completed every pass. His one pass was a touchdown pass. And it was
the game-winning touchdown pass.
Yes, game-winning pass. Yeah, and this was Jordan. Presley did bust off a 20-yard run. Then Jordan ran 3 straight times for 15 total yards. You know they're going to run. Gongbe had a run. P.I. helped them out. They ran on first down. Just like, oh, let's try to throw in second down. Smart move, Bob Davey. And they get it done. It comes down to simple. You beat your rival. Third straight year in a row they've done that. Great for the Lobos. They need to maybe get some more wins. Well, definitely need some more wins, but they just need Jordan to be the guy. There's no reason for him not to be the guy. Look what he did to get you a win.
No, there's no reason for Cole Gauchy or Clayton Mitchum to be coming in the game right now.
No, I think you can put... There's room for Gauchy to get a handful of snaps.
Just because of his running ability?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about Mitchum.
No, Mitchum's not as good as Gauchy, though.
But if you're going to be passing, Lamar Jordan has to be in there.
Okay, really quick. They host Fresno. Can they beat Fresno next Friday night?
Quite possibly, yes.
Cool, man. That'll be a sight. Oh, man. All right, let's move on. We'll get that. That's a Friday night game, so.
This is for this week's podcast.
Yeah, we'll get that later. So next game. Sorry, I'm under.
Speaking of the devil, Fresno State.
They won? They won. Okay, there's a theme here. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot of teams playing a lot of quarterbacks. Yes, it's Southern Utah. Coach Tim Drudner did not take my advice of playing one quarterback for a half, second quarterback for a half. His best quarterback might have been Zach Greenlee. 4-7, 109, a touchdown pass.
And that was in garbage time.
I don't care. They don't have a quarterback. They still do not have a quarterback. Burrell did fine. Just going over stats, it's boring a bit, but 13-20, two TDs a pick, 145.
So I'm looking at the stat line. I wonder if you could see the same stat line as I can. Who's the top passer?
Overall?
Look at the top performers.
Oh, wait. Ammon Olsen used to play at BYU, but he's a starting transfer to Southern Utah to play. Maybe I'll screenshot that real quick so I don't forget about it. He says he's the leading passer of that game, and he still puts him as BYU. Man, he threw the ball reasonably well, 309 at two TDs, but there's not much to say about the game. They played well. They still don't have a quarterback.
Start Zach Greenlee.
Maybe. And here's the thing. Next week, they'll probably be able to throw very well against Mexico, too. So this is a win. I don't care if people mock me saying they got the win. It's better than losing to Southern Utah.
It is better than losing. And they won in more dominant fashion than Nevada did against Southern Utah.
So we'll see. I still don't trust Fresno at the moment, but let's move on. Come on. Sorry, I'm looking at, for some reason, it put directly me to the Sun Belt schedule for some reason. Yes, and that does bring us to the final pair of games this evening, San Diego State versus Oregon State, which looked pretty good for part of the game.
It was San Diego State?
Well, the game in general. Yeah. Not a blowout.
Until the end.
Well, yeah. Watching this game, the first quarter or so looked pretty good for San Diego State.
Yeah, the linebackers were all on top of it. Like, everybody was kind of just covering their positions. It just seemed that when they came out at halftime, the team didn't look as strong as they were in the first half. And instead of a slow weather, you know, it just seemed like, they scored okay early-ish in the third quarter, and then at the end of the third quarter they score again, and then even then, San Diego State wasn't really out of it. I mean, it is possible to score 21 points in one quarter.
See Arizona v. Cal.
Yeah, 36 points in the fourth quarter. But I mean,
Quinn Kaler did not throw well. 106 yards.
No, 106 yards, two picks. You have many, many San Diego State fans calling for Quinn Kaler's head right now.
Who are you going to start? No.
Whoever their backup is.
Yeah, but no. If you look at what San Diego State did defensively, they actually did a really good job. Sean Mannion, his completion percentage, that's probably the big concern. He completed, 75% of his passes or so?
Which is expected of Sean Mannion, but he did not throw a touchdown.
Yeah, and only 275 yards. Good, but not great. The running game only got 97 total yards, albeit four of their touchdowns, all of them came on the ground, but you only given up 2 points. Even if you take away the sacks, which are 17 yards, that puts them at about 115 as a team.
But the fact that Oregon State only rolled up 370-something odd yards of total offense.
It's good.
It's good, but those are all shortened drives.
Yeah. If you look at... go ahead.
To make things worse, when was the last time you saw San Diego State only have 215 yards?
Not since the beginning of last year when Quinn Kaler started for... what's his name? That guy. Yeah, that guy. Sorry, I should know his name, but no. But it's their drives. They had out they had two drives that were more than, well, I guess more than two, but look at all these drives. They had one, not including the interception, they had four 3-and-outs, or four 4-and-outs, let's just get, well, three plays, technically punts, so four 4-and-outs. Their final three possessions of the game went all 4-and-out, -3, -8, 12 total yards. The last one's an interception. So they were not getting anything done moving the ball. Their one 7-yard, 7-drive play, punt, only went 25 yards for 7 plays. A 6-play drive, even when they had extended, I'm using my air quotes, extended drives, they didn't get that many yards.
No, not at all.
He just couldn't move the ball.
And, I mean, the offense was extremely balanced. 26 passes attempt to 23 rushes.
And Pumphrey did well. 89 yards over 5 yards an attempt. And it wasn't skewed by any huge run. As long as 15. So they.
But is this just an issue of Edzell Ruffin is not here, so we don't know who to throw to?
That hurts, but they spread the ball around quite well. 9 different guys caught at least one pass. But
yeah, no, so what's the issue then?
They just couldn't get a play when they need it. 4 of 11 on third down right there tells you quite a bit. Only 11 first downs in the game. They just, when they needed a play, Ruffin was the guy they had throw to, and he wasn't there. And so, like, it goes back to what you said. Who do I throw to when I need a play? They don't know who that guy is yet.
So is this an issue of Kaylor needs some, Rocky Long needs to start somebody other than Kaylor? Or is this an issue of another receiver needs to step up? Because Edzell Ruffin, how long is he out for?
I think it was 6 to 8 weeks, and a collarbone could be tricky, too.
That's a broken collarbone. Half the season. I'm going to go ahead and say 7 weeks at minimum.
And look at, there was a couple years ago, an Air Force quarterback. It might even be Kel Pearson starting now, but he was basically out the whole year. And so did Garrett Grayson. Didn't he break his collarbone, or he replaced the guy who broke his collarbone, I believe, from CSU?
Yeah.
It's just, for a receiver, it might be different than a quarterback, clearly, because you're not throwing the ball. But still.
Nevertheless, somebody needs to step up. And the person who looks closest like they're going to step up, Lloyd Mills. But he only had 3 receptions. Like, do we have a place where we could see how many people dropped passes?
Not at the moment. There might be if you go to the official San Diego State. Nobody keeps track of that much. Maybe targets. Sometimes there's targets listed. But I'm looking here, like, your third down plays. Like, I saw a lot of this game. It just seemed like when they were going for third down, they weren't getting, it was either incomplete or they were not getting enough yards.
Yeah.
Like, 39, a 6-yard attempt, a completion to Donnell Pumphrey. Third in, early in the game, that's a first down. Sorry, that's a touchdown one. They're like a 3rd and 12, throw for 7 yards. It's like, I don't know if that's something with the play calling or something, not getting, they wanted to.
Well, I did also hear a lot of criticisms about play calling. Well, so
if your ball 3rd and long going, or 3rd and medium, I guess, going to Donald Pumphrey, that means he wasn't open. Nobody's open as your check guy, and he almost got all the yards. There's a couple here where it's just all these incomplete passes, short plays. When they needed the first down, they were not getting it. Most of the time, it's an incomplete pass. From what I could tell here, because I kind of tuned out late in the game, as it seemed to be getting out of hand. He looks like he's throwing to Eric Judge quite a bit on 4th and 3rd down a couple of times, but
yeah, I'm going to go ahead and see pass incomplete to Eric Judge. Okay,
short
pass incomplete to Donnell Pumphrey. Pass intercepted. Didn't say who was targeted to. Incomplete to Larry Clark.
3rd and 12 to Chase Price in the second quarter.
Incomplete
for 9 yards.
To Eric Judge. So Judge looks like he's been targeted the most. Lloyd Mills, Eric Judge.
Well, if you do a quick command F, Judge got, if this is correct, 5 targets.
Yeah.
I think it could come down to the combination of who do I give the ball to and what play do I need to run on 3rd down.
So, I mean, is there coaching issues in here as well?
If you're not running the right play call. if the coaches don't know who that receiver is, like, there's not one guy to step up and take, all right, you're taking Ruffin's play calling, or, like, his reps, you know what I mean?
Right. It's the same thing as if Boise State lost Matt Miller, we would know to go to Shane Williams-Rhodes, or even then, we would know to go to
Daniel Burris. Yeah.
Right.
But I think the better example would be Wildman. If Wildman lost Dominic Ruffin, what would they do? No idea.
Yeah, you're
same,
right.
Same type of deal. I think it's more of we don't know who our number one guy is, so I didn't pay that close attention to know. Maybe we probably should talk to one of our San Diego State guys, but I don't know if they just plugged in one guy, like just, okay, you're next on the depth chart, or they kept mixing and matching who's going to be the number one receiver. I doubt they would do that. Most likely be the next guy up in the depth chart, but... Oregon State, Sean Mannion for Oregon State is the best quarterback in the Pac-12.
Yeah, no, he is not.
Best passing quarterback? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who? No. Who? Mariota's not a better thrower than him.
Yeah, he is.
No. I guess if I
or should... Or a new Solomon.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
What, he threw a ball right in the guy's chest in the end zone?
Yeah, he's done that multiple times.
Yeah. If I go by NFL,
Goff.
No. I mean, he'll be the best pro... I know we're not NFL, but he'll be the best NFL quarterback of the bunch.
Probably.
And that's... And you know, they held him about a few yards. Because he's known to go off. Look what he did against Boise State last year, who last year had a pretty good secondary.
I don't want to remember.
I'm just saying. There's fumbles involved in that bowl game, so. So, what, let's move on. So, Kaler's the quarterback. There's not going to be an issue with him being benched.
No, because he wasn't benched in the middle of the game.
Yeah, he just needs to find their number one receiver and adjust accordingly. They play UNLV, and that will probably be the medicine they need to have him go for 40 or 49 for 410 yards.
Or will it?
It should.
If it's not, we better be really concerned about San Diego State.
And if, who's the injured player again for UNLV, their best player?
Penny Bay.
Yeah, Penny might be out, so... Yeah, have fun with that. Next, final game. Boise State. First off, did you see the Mountain West official account try to say, hey, look over here, they're still called football after Arizona and Cal. Yeah, it's 35-9, but nobody look at the score.
Yeah.
I saw that group tweet like, nice try, folks.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum.
I get their 34-9. I get their point, but it's like, come on, really? It's not even a close game. What they should have done was say, hey, there's still football going on, and leave off the score. So, Boise State, they...
It was a sloppy game.
We got some heat for saying the secondary is not very good. But I think we mentioned beforehand that, at least you brought it to my attention, I wasn't looking as closely. They make plays, but they give up yards. Maybe they're starting to turn the corner on that, but Louisiana Lafayette's not a very good team, so it's still...
However, you say Louisiana Lafayette's not a very good team. Terrence Broadway is a very good player.
Yeah, he was efficient, just couldn't get anything downfield.
He was shut down.
Yeah. He was 20-38, which is okay, but only had four yards of completion. That's nothing.
Yeah, and the fact that Boise State gave up under 200 yards passing, that's... big for them this game.
And they were down a couple. Weren't they down a starter or two in the secondary, or at least one starter?
I think so. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Jeremy Ioane. I didn't see him all night.
No, he was there. There was there was somebody else that Hank mentioned preview or comment in the preview about one guy being out. And I couldn't recall who it was, but hey, it's a sloppy game, but he still went 34-9. JJ, there's no slippage of the turf in this game. 150 for three touchdowns. Back in the passing game, 5-37. What would you? Because I kind of bounced around. What was so sloppy about this game?
Just, certain things,
certain still play calls were a little bit things. The shifts made me so happy.
I know. Yes, that's what it should be.
Maybe. Hey, look. Hey. Guess how many completions the tight ends had?
Zero.
Wrong.
Oh, wait, you mean pass? Oh, sorry. I thought you meant throwing, because there were trick plays.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was going for. That's why I came out. Zero. No halfback reverse pass. Sorry, you mean complete receptions, you should say. Yeah, Dallas yes. Burrows caught two.
Dallas Burrows was not a tight end.
I thought he was officially a tight end.
Is he officially a tight end now?
I believe he was.
I thought he was always wide receiver. He was always used as kind of a slot.
Oh, never mind. I must be getting the wrong name. He's 5'9", 170. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, I was
saying, I don't know why I thought he's a tight end.
Try again there,
Try
buddy.
Holden Huff is a tight end.
Holden Huff is a tight end.
Yes.
He had one.
What do I win? Anything?
Jake Rowe.
Yes,
three receptions.
Freshman Jake Rowe.
Freshman Jake Rowe, who is slowly becoming a very key part of this Boise State offense.
So was this the most complete game they've played so far?
I would say so, yes.
Just because Ajayi was able to get a lot done?
Yeah, Ajayi got a lot done. After they took Ajayi out, Hedrick was moving the ball relatively efficiently. 24 of 31, that's 75%, or close to it. 237 yards, zero touchdowns, but once again, when you have Ajayi
three touchdowns.
Slamming it up the middle, you don't need to.
Defense, they did fine. They gave up hardly any yards. They shut down a pretty good quarterback. Like they brought away probably one of the better guys in the Sun Belt.
They got their one interception that they needed to keep that turnover streak going.
Yeah.
Dante Dion.
What was up with the two missed field goals, pal? What's up with that? Trying to find something here.
Yeah, no, well, that was something. That was very odd. Dan Goodale missed two field goals. That brings his career total up to six. He's, by the way, a fifth-year player.
Yeah, that's not bad. So
one
a year.
Really well, good.
Not you don't play 5 years, but yeah.
Breaking
news here. Hold on. Wait, breaking news here. It's 10:01 Mountain Time. Stats have refreshed. We have one visitor on our website so far at 10:05 Mountain Time.
Nice.
Just wanted to bring that up. Tomahawk Nation, 295 in 1 minute or 5 minutes.
Nice.
I just want to bring that up because they crush us every week, like everybody else. Sorry to derail you. I was just going off topic one last time. You're talking about Goodell being a good kicker.
I would say just the biggest problem is 8 penalties, 60 yards.
And they probably could be better on third down. 8-17 is good, but 10-17 would be really good.
Yeah, exactly.
So, is this team, next week, just because we've been mentioning with everybody, they go to Air Force next week, which can be tricky, but I think they'll be okay. They'll do what everybody else does, give up a lot of yards, don't give up the big play, and the ground, you'll be fine. But Pearson can throw reasonably well. So, is this team, because we know the Mountain West isn't that great, as good as we, the past couple years, they haven't been all that great. Their Boise is getting a handful of votes in both the polls. The only team. Utah State sounds good as we thought. San Diego State really could use that win. Either win. Had they beat North Carolina, 2-1 would be great, but they're 1-2. Is Boise just the team that's so far ahead of everybody else at the moment?
I don't think they're that far ahead.
Who's the number two team?
Any team in this Mountain West Conference can be beat.
But they have so few weaknesses, in my opinion, overall. The passing game defense is getting better for yards given up. That's, yeah, Broadway's
No, the team is getting better. And the team is noticeably getting better, and they are becoming the best team in the conference.
J.J. is the player of the year. He will be the player of the year. They're not going to – who are they going to lose to? They play – I guess San Diego State's beat them 2 years in a row, but is that that's probably their biggest challenge.
Reno?
Well,
God, why did I say that?
Should I mention my obligatory high school glow post in 2010?
Ah, God.
I just did.
Yeah. BYU.
Yeah. Oh, conference play, yes. I think they can beat BYU.
Wait, BYU's not in our conference?
<It's> 2010 called. Apparently, to the Tulsa, they want Tulsa what world, they want them to Big 12 right away.
No, really? I mean,
I mean, I made conference with. Yeah, BYU's
probably. Okay, 2 weeks to Nevada. That could be a potential loss. 2 weeks to November 15th versus San Diego State. That could be a potential loss.
What about at Wyoming? Any concern there? Especially because we know. Let's just say Boise is as good as we think they are. Say they lose just one game. It doesn't matter. They lose to BYU, Nevada, whoever. You know that Wyoming game on the road is going to be that 8:15 local kickoff.
Yeah, but, I mean...
weather is always a big deal in what Laramie.
Boise State kicked off at 8:15 or 8:30 last night.
Where was the game at again?
Boise.
Not Laramie. That's all I'm saying. It's not Laramie. I've been through...
Are you going off the blizzard card here? Or are you going
bit. No,
off
there's
the
a couple things.
Height or...
There, I've been there through a blizzard. It's nasty. I've seen power get shut down a decade ago, a game nearly getting postponed. I've seen games where it's so windy, you cannot throw more than 5 yards in front of you. So there's always a weather issue while I'm here. You're so high up, there's nothing to block any sort of wind if
it
comes through.
But Boise doesn't have to throw if that happens.
I know, I'm just saying. It's
I'm gonna go ahead and say while Wyoming is a possibility, it's actually more of a possibility than Utah State probably now.
Oh man,
ugh.
I guess we're not going to that game anymore, are we?
No, well, I wasn't planning on it, but I know
there's some small talk we might head up.
I thought we were planning on going to Air Force Navy.
We do have a photographer for that game going there, so that's good.
Wait, so are we still planning on going to a game?
Probably not.
I mean, for me, it's waiting for bowl games now. I'm not making that much money.
Oh, I technically have another job and maybe a couple dollar an hour pay raise, so who knows? That's October 4th. No, I cannot because I'm going to a Jim Gaffigan concert October 4th. So.
Well, look for me at least, I'm
title game, maybe. Maybe Mountain West title game. If it's in Boise, I can make that drive.
Yeah, if it's in Boise. And if it's anywhere else, you know.
Vegas, but no.
Why would it be?
I know we can get credentials for that game, so we can spare our $100 each on tickets or something, whatever it may cost. But
I've got a handy-dandy place we could stay.
Perfect. Bam. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, we'll see. We'll talk about it later. That'll be fun to do. But as for Boise State,
San Diego State is looking like it's – no. No, I'm going to go with Nevada.
If there are a lot for a conference game, I could see Nevada being the case. Because that Nevada, we're assuming Nevada's a.
Assuming Nevada's decent.
Well, if like I said, transitive earlier, Washington State gave Oregon a big scare.
But it was in Washington State.
So yeah, hey, Reno's the same
weird
thing.
Weird things happen on the Palouse. Look
things,
at Oregon.
Hey, weird things don't happen in Reno.
Yes.
I'm just saying there's not much difference between Reno and Pullman. They're one and the same.
No, they're not. Reno is actually in a somewhat desirable location.
I just mean it's the biggest little city, man. Come on.
where I'm going with, though, is the Palouse. Washington State, it's tough to get there.
No, I know. There's no freeway. You're driving a two-lane road to get to Pullman. You're probably I know it's close to Idaho. Do people fly into Boise and drive in? Maybe if you don't have enough money to charter into Pullman.
You would have to
geography lesson, folks.
Well, I'm sorry. What was the repeat the question?
Do they fly to Boise or Twin Falls and drive west
to get to Pullman?
Yeah.
No, dude.
What's the closest decent sized city then?
Look, first of all, Moscow Pullman has its own municipal airport in Pullman.
I didn't know. I'm just saying.
If you can't fly there, if you cannot fly there, the closest place you can fly is Spokane and drive 90 miles south.
So it's almost similar to getting to Laramie if you fly into Denver or Colorado Springs.
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay. So would you compare Laramie to Pullman more closely than Reno to Pullman?
Yes.
Okay.
Once again, because Reno's relatively populated.
Yeah, and you got Lake Tahoe nearby. I think, right?
Yeah. Okay. I need to find that head-to-head, though. I know the last few Washington State games versus Oregon have been relatively close for some odd reason.
Hey, well, it's a pirate effect for Mike Leach. Should I call? I have Mike Leach's number. I can give him a quick text and ask him how so close you were to Oregon last night. Should you see if he'll respond to me? Probably not. I'm just saying. He's a weird guy. You never know. I could be on the phone for him for 2 hours if that were to be the case.
Okay, the game was in Seattle last year, 2012, Washington State team. That wasn't exactly a good year. That was Mike Leach's first year.
Not last year. That's 2 years
2012.
Ago. Yeah, it's 2 years ago. All right. I think we don't need to look this up anymore. I think we're killing everybody who's trying to listen. But I think the main point is the toughest game for Boise is, conference-wise, is Nevada.
And if Nevada loses to San Jose State, then we're probably going to change our opinion next week.
Are they just going to go 12-1 and challenge ECU for that spot?
They might. Look who ECU's lost to. They lost to South Carolina. Look who Boise State lost to. They lost to Ole Miss. Two SEC teams. I would say Ole Miss is probably better than South Carolina right now.
But two
SEC teams.
They thrashed UNC.
Yeah.
And Virginia.
Thrashed. Absolutely just destroyed.
And they beat a ranked – both. Okay, I know both are ranked at the time, but they won't be at the moment. But Virginia Tech, they probably won't challenge Florida State, but they'll probably finish third in their division. UNC, who knows? But they have the bigger name wins. Boise's biggest win could be always a pretty big name if they keep winning. But they're going to need San Diego State to win a bunch of games. They're going to need Lafayette to maybe win the Sun Belt, UConn to do something American. I don't know how they'll play it out, but I think those points at 70. Did they score 70 points against UNC or something like that? Where'd they score on them?
70. It was a 70 spot.
I was half joking to say, no, I can't be right, but. We got a lot of football left to play before that happens, before we even know, because it is the committee who makes that decision. I'm actually looking now to make sure. Was it 71 or? No, UNC is not even ranked, so that may, who knows, but not that the rankings matter. Yeah, it was, I just want to pull it, I just want to say it here, 41-70. Wow. But so, okay, let's just wrap this up really quick. If it does come down to these two schools, the conference they both play in are the same? Is American any better than the Mountain West?
If it is, it's not that much better.
Cincinnati might be the second best team overall. I mean, compared to Mountain West, Cincinnati, San Diego State are right there, maybe. Tulsa's, no, UCF, they've been okay. Maybe a little bit, but we'll see. All right, so I think we're done here. We've gone far too long about this extracurricular because we'll be apparently Boise for the rest of the way, right?
Yes.
Because that's what we do.
What?
Yeah, at least you do. I don't know.
Oh, you have to find a substitute this week.
Oh, we'll discuss off air then. So thanks for Matt K. Get your email ready. I'll be getting a hold of you soon once I figure out what this is going on. But no, thanks for joining us again for this. We're back to an hour plus show, it looks like, if my math is correct here. Yeah, yes. Just over an hour or so. But check us out, MWCConnection.com. Facebook, check us out. Same thing, Mountains Connection. Twitter, MWC Connection. Obligatory Twitter update. Greek Padre is at what number at the moment?
Oh, you're making me look this up?
Fine, I'll look it up.
I got it. I'm at 390.
Oh, 10 away. What should we tell the people they get if they get to 400? For following at Greek Padre. Anything particular you want to announce?
No.
I mean, I'm just saying, is there any... Do you have anything fancy for the 400 follower? A follow back?
We obviously can't sell obviously don't have our t-shirts anymore, so until we create and sell more t-shirts...
How about a virtual high five?
Virtual high five. Yay!
Okay. Yeah, as you can tell, we're done now. But thanks, everybody, for listening this time. And let's, we got week 5 coming up. And everybody have a good rest of your week. And hope your team does better than last.